All right. Good morning. Today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin. We're back on Lamed Vav. Okay. Let's make an attempt to catch up with pretty straightforward gemaras today. The first part is about Chibas Kodesh. I'm not going to say anything straightforward about Chibas Kodesh, but at least you know it's something that we've dealt with before, something we've discussed. So hopefully we'll get around to discussing and finishing the discussion. And today's daf, which is daf Lamed Zayin, that talks about Misukenes. Misukenes is a very interesting discussion in the Gemara. So hopefully we'll get to that and we'll do that as well. So we start in Lamed Vav, and we're starting towards the top of the page of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, and we'll start here. Right, four lines from the top of the page. We started this discussion yesterday, but really I would not like to start from the beginning of the topic to make sure that we're grounded. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned that a brisa shochet v'tiz dam al adlas. So yishecht. Remember, we're in the discussion of machshirin, right? Machshir means that a liquid comes into contact with the food in order to render the food susceptible to tumma. Prior to liquid coming into contact with the food is not susceptible to tumma. Okay, that's the whole parsha of machshirin. Okay, and you have to want the liquid to be on the food. If you don't want the liquid on the food is not going to just simply become mukshir lekabel tumma. It has to be beratzon. Good. We also learned back in the Mishnah that if you had a dry shechita, right, you shechted and no blood came out of the animal, so the animal's not mochshel kabel tumah because no liquid came into contact with it. And then the Mishnah presented us the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. This takes us back to Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, and the opinion of Rabbi Shimon is that the shechita itself makes it mochshel kabel tumah. Okay, and I mentioned back then, it's difficult to understand, meaning it's not a liquid. Meaning, what does that mean? Shechita makes it tameh. And so what we're going to be discussing a lot of today is how do you understand that opinion of Rabbi Shimon? What is that opinion of Rabbi Shimon? Now, we also mentioned, okay, almost done with an introduction, we also mentioned that according to Rabbi Shimon, shechita is a machshir and not blood. Blood is not a machshir. The blood that comes out of the animal, neck of the animal is not a machshir according to Rabbi Shimon, but it's rather the act of shechita itself. Okay, more to be discussed about that. Tanu Rabbanan, so we start off with the braisa, shochet v'itiz dam adlas. So you shecht and you're right next to a pumpkin or any gourd, and the blood of the animal just runs right onto this large vegetable. So Rabbi Omer Huchshar. So the start off with opinion number one, which is Rabbi, and Rabbi says, good. Blood is one of the machshirin. The blood that came off the animal as you shechted is a machshir. So now the gourd is mochshir lekabel tumah. It's now ready to be received tumah. Rabbi Chiya Omer Tolan. Rabbi Chiya says, suspend. What does that mean? Stay tuned. Amar Rabbi Oshia, me'acher sh'Rabbi Omer Huchshar, v'Rabbi Chiya Omer Tolin. So Rabbi Oshia says, look, it's a machlokas. Rabbi says it's mochshel kabel tumah. Rabbi Chiya says, suspend, Tolin. So, anu almi nismoch, bal v'nismoch adiv Rabbi Shimon. So what are we going to do? We'll go behind door number three. And door number three is Rabbi Shimon. Now, because Rabbi Shimon back in the Mishnah, Lama Gimel says that Shechita is a machshir, and when he says Shechita is a machshir, he means Shechita and not blood. Okay. All this requires serious explanation. Okay? Adkan divrei habraisa, that's the end of the braisa. So, and the case is really simple, meaning you shecht in an animal, the blood during the Shechita, spilled on a pumpkin, and we want to know. Simple question. Is a pumpkin now mukshal kabel tumah, meaning the blood that came out of the animal, is it a machshir? So Rabbi says it is. Rabbi Chiya says suspend. We'll see what that means in just a moment. So it's Rabbi Oshia. Rabbi Oshia says, look, we don't know which way to go, so let's add Rabbi Shimon to the whole discussion. Rabbi Shimon says that shechita is a machshir, blood is not a machshir, and so therefore the blood that comes out is not a machshir. Okay, so Amar Rav Papa. So explanation number one of the braisa. Hakomodim hechadisa ladam itchila ve'atzof kulei amalo pligida machshir. Look, if the blood that came out of the animal during the shechita was blood that came out during the entirety of the shechita, mitchila ve'atzof, from the beginning of shechita to the end of shechita. Beginning means when the neck start makes contact. Sorry. When the knife makes contact with the neck, right? The first little bit of blood that comes out. The end of shechita means when you get to the end of the second siman, right? When you finish cutting that second pipe. So ki pligi binitkaneh chadam being similar siman. The whole debate in this braisa between Rebbe and Rebbe Chia is in the following scenario, where in the middle of the shechita, right, we're going to freeze frame that moment, okay, we're not going to stop because that would be shehia, but we're just going to pause, right, the blood that was on the gourd was wiped off. So in other words, it only got a little bit of blood from the first half of shechita. Rebbe, Savi Yeshon Shechita Mitzchela V'yatzov Ha'idam Shechita Hu. So Rebbe's of the opinion that the shechita act is legally defined as shechita from beginning to end. This is a classic machlokas that we've seen time and again. What exactly is the definition of shechita? So Rebbe's of the opinion that shechita is from the beginning to the end, which means that the blood that comes out even during the first half of shechita is dam shechita. The blood that comes out of shechita. Dam shechita is a machshir. We'll talk more about that later on. Rebbe Chia Savarino Shechita Ela B'Sof, and Rebbe Chia is of the opinion that no, shechita is only at the very end. All the cutting that you do before that is just preparation. It's just hechsher. But if that's not shechita. So shechita is only at the end. So when are you going to get to dam shechita? Only at the end of the shechita. So during the first half of shechita, that's not legally defined as shechita. The blood that comes out is not legally defined as dam shechita. And so v'hai dam makahu. So what kind of blood is that? That's called dam makah, the blood of a wound. Blood of a wound is not a machshir. If you go to an animal and puncture the animal or make any serration on the animal and the animal starts bleeding, that's not that blood is not dam makshir. It has to be the blood that causes a loss of life to the animal. Okay. Umay tolin. Good. So now we have a wonderful understanding of the machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Chia. What Rav Papa has to do, and it's going to be a little tricky, is explain the words of Rebbe Chia. Because Rebbe Chia says the words tolin. Now, throughout Shas, usually tolin means let it suspend, meaning we're unsure. The way Rav Papa is explaining Rebbe Chia, it's not that we're unsure. We know exactly when the blood that comes out is dam shechita, and that's going to be at the end. So what does tolin over here mean? Tolin hadavar al ad gemar hashechita. Tolin over here means wait. Okay? Usually tolin means suspend, but Rav Papa says in this context, in this machlokas, tolin means wait. Because if you wait till the end of shechita and the blood that comes out the end of shechita, that would be a machshir. Anything prior to that would not be a machshir.
What's the connection between the blood that comes and the end of shechita and the blood that initially was there, in his opinion?
In his opinion, the blood that comes at the end of shechita is dam shechita. The blood prior to that is not dam shechita, but dam makah. So we're going to give a new interpretation of the word tolin. Tolin here does not mean suspend. Tolin over here means wait. Wait till you get to the end.
And then
that blood that comes at the end is dam shechita.
But the thing is that he's expecting that blood to land also on the...
No,
on the,
in other words, no. He,
so what's the connection? There's no connection. Why the wait? The initial blood wasn't dam
shechita. It doesn't mean... Wait over here doesn't mean... Wait over here is not an instruction. Wait over here means if you waited... And had you gotten to the end, then there would have been a machshir. But it wait over here doesn't mean...
Waiting until then, until then, establish a connection between the blood that went initially and the blood.
Waiting until the end. Well, now, in other words, if you waited to the end and the blood came out at the end, that would have been a dam shechita. Anything prior to that is not dam shechita, it's just simply dam makah.
Does that establish a link between the initial blood and the
no,
last blood?
No. The initial blood is still dam makah.
Does the fruit get any more of that additional blood that comes out afterwards?
If it comes into contact with that blood, so then it's moksha. But if not, not. So isol adam b'sof shechita machshir v'ilo lo machshir. Okay. Now, good. So we have a wonderful understanding of Rebbe and Rebbe Chia, albeit the word tolin here means not what it normally means. Okay, that's a little bit of an issue. Umay bo v'nismach al divrei Rebbe Shimon. Now, how did you understand that Rebbe Oshia line at the end of the Braisa? Rebbe Oshia says, well, we have a machlokas, so let's rely on Rebbe Shimon. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains, le Rebbe Shimon lo machshir. So, le Rebbe Chia machshir bin nitkaneach miu ashre lahadade. So look, Rebbe Shimon says it's not a machshir. Now, why is it not a machshir? Because he's of the opinion that the blood during shechita is not a machshir. Period. According to Rebbe Chia, it's also not a machshir for a different reason. Because according to Rebbe Chia, the blood is not a machshir until you get to the end. And in this particular case, we happen to have only gotten the blood from the first half of the shechita, not the second half of the shechita. So the truth of the matter is, you really can't line up Rebbe Chia and Rebbe Shimon together because they're not agreeing with one another. Rabbi Shimon is just simply of the opinion that Dam Shechita is not a Machshir, period. However, in this particular case, there will be agreement. Not agreement in terms of the reason, the basis, but just in agreement in terms of what the practical halacha is. It's not a Machshir. So I'll take Rabbi Chia, I'll add Rabbi Shimon to Rabbi Chia. So now I have two Tanaim telling me it's not, the gourd, the pumpkin, is not Mokshe L'Kabel Tumah. Good. So even though Rabbi Chia, Rabbi, if I just had that standoff alone, maybe would have sided with Rabbi over Rabbi Chia. But now that I got Rabbi Shimon supporting Rabbi Chia, not agreeing with Rabbi Chia, but at least supporting his conclusion, so now I'm going to go with Rabbi Chia / Rabbi Shimon. Malo Machshir, Malo Machshir, Havalei Rabbi Chad ve'en Dvar V'shal Echa b'makom Shnayim. So now that puts Rebbe in the minority, and so therefore we will not side with Rebbe if he's in the minority. You're going to have to say, that for whatever reason you want the blood to go on the Gordon pumpkin, and quite frankly, between you and me, I'm sure you'll agree with me, I can't think of a reason why you'd want it. But correct.
Because you're out of water and you want it.
If it's not water, if it's not water, right. Well, I'm saying if it's not water and it's any of the other liquids, you know, it's hard to think of a reason why you'd want it on it. But it has to be L'Ratzon.
In general, you don't want to avoid Machshir, right? Because if you do Machshir, you just...
You don't want to... It's not a question of avoiding it. It's just it's part of the preparation of the food. Meaning the... You're right. In a world where we don't want food to become Tameh, you're right. We would want to avoid any Machshir.
Right.
Okay, but, you know, you got to wash the vegetables. I mean, you know, that's...
I'm saying, the person who puts the blood on, it wants to...
Yeah, I can't... Correct. It's hard to conceive of why a person wants blood on the gourd. You're right. I agree. I absolutely agree. Yes?
Sure. Is this gourd cut open or full on the body?
Well, if it's still connected to the ground, it's not susceptible to be mukshar. Right, the only time that you can even have the discussion of whether it is or it isn't mukshar is only after it's detached from the ground.
It's just
simply detached from the ground, right? Because, right, it's a good point because if you think about it, right, every fruit and every vegetable at one point in time was rained on, and so you'd come to the conclusion, which is not correct, that you know everything already is pre-mukshared, which is not correct. It has to be detached from the ground in order for it to be mukshar. Okay, Rav Ashi Amar, so good. So now we had a braisa, we saw pshat number one. Now we're going to see pshat number two. Rav Ashi Amar tolen la'ola mashma. First of all, Rav Ashi is offended by what we did with the word tolen. Because tolen over here, according to Rav Papa, doesn't mean suspend, meaning we are in a perpetual state of safek. Tolen over here means, had you waited till the end of shechita, etc., etc. Rav Ashi says, that's not what tolen means, but rather tolen la'ola mashma. Tolen means it is in a perpetual state of I don't know. So, the Gemara now, Rav Ashi provides a wonderful pshat. Meaning, Rabbi Chia, he himself is unclear. Is shechita from the beginning to the end, or shechita at the end? Rabbi Chia says, that is exactly the point I don't know. And so if you have blood that comes out of the neck of the animal, but only the first half of Shechita, and so now this is blood of part A of Shechita, right? The first siman of Shechita. Is that Dam Shechita? I don't know. Now that I'm saying I don't know, my tolin, so now you understand exactly what tolin means. Lo ochlin velo sorfin. Don't eat it, don't burn it. What does that mean, don't eat it, don't burn it? Meaning if the gourd was truma, right? Now we know what the halach is by truma. If Truma's Tahor, so he said to the Kohen, please enjoy it. If Truma's Tameh, you got to burn it. You got to burn the Truma. You can't eat it. You can't eat Truma Tameh up. Good. What if I don't know? Tolan. We can't eat it. We can't burn it. Why are we in this limbo? Well, you can't eat it because it may be Tameh, but you can't burn it because it may not be Tameh. And we know that by Truma, there's a positive command to be shomer. You got to safeguard. You got to protect the truma. And if in fact this truma is not tamei, so now you have a sorry, I forgot how to speak English. It'll come back to me. You have a positive commandment to safeguard and to make sure that the truma is not destroyed. So you can't burn it. So whenever we see the word tolan, and this is usually what tolan means. Tolan means it may or may not be tame. We don't know. And here we explain exactly why we don't know. So it may or may not be tame. Right? Let's just go over the storyline. Shechted an animal. It's a weird case. Right? Shechted an animal. First spurt of blood in the middle of Shechita landed on this gourd, on this pumpkin. Right? You wiped off that blood and you removed the gourd. So the second half of the blood didn't come on this animal. And we're going to have to add one other point, and that, of course, is that a source of tumah touched the gourd. Right. Otherwise, if that's all that happened, then all we have is just simply a gourd which is susceptible to become tameh, but didn't actually become tameh. Then we had a sheretz or any other source of tumah come into contact with the gourd, and now the gourd is or isn't tameh. So that's exactly what Rabbi Chiya is saying. I don't know. I don't know if it's tameh or not, because I don't know if the first half of shechita is considered shechita or is it just considered dam maka. Right, or you remove the gourd before you finish the shechita.
No, you can't burn it. What do you do?
So tolan means you just let it hang.
Now, means we did finish the shechita, but we removed the gourd before we finished the
shechita. Correct.
And then some sheretz came.
Correct, absolutely correct. Now, tolan will mean that you just let it hang. Let it hang means, you know, this is a fruit we're talking about. Eventually, it will warp and deteriorate and expire, but you can't positively do anything. You can't eat it, you can't burn it. And now, good. Beautiful pshat in the Braisa. Just one more loose string to tie up, and that's what's Rav Oshia saying. So the Gemara now will explain. Look, because according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not a machshir. Because Rabbi Shimon holds that the blood of Shechita is not a machshir. Period. And end of that discussion. Okay, for whatever reason, Rabbi Shimon holds that Dam Shechita is not a machshir. Good. And the Rabbi Chiya tveika. Now, according to Rabbi Chiya, is it a machshir? I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. So lenient sreifa miyushav lahadade marlo sarfe. In terms of a simple question, can I burn it? So if I ask Rabbi Shimon says no. Are you out of your mind? It's not mochshir l'kapal tuma. Don't burn it. It's not tame. If you ask Rabbi Chiya will say yeah, don't burn it, but only because he doesn't know if it did not become tame. So should I burn it? So the answer from both of them, although not for the same reason, but the answer from both of them will be no, don't burn it. Havale Rebbe Chad Vein Drav Shalachem B'Makom Shnayim. And now Rebbe comes out to be the only person of the three who will tell you, of course burn it, because it's Dam Shechita and it's a Machshir. But Rebbe's the only one who would say that. Rebbe Chiya wouldn't say that. Rebbe Shimon wouldn't say that. So it's two versus one. The Hachi Kamer.
We don't know if he holds like Rish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan. He might have a different reason for what he's saying.
Right, Rabbi Shimon is just saying it's not a machshir. Period. Nothing to do with Yesh L'Shechita Mitzchil Ve'Atzofe. Nothing to do with that. He just simply holds that Dam Shechita is not a machshir. The Hachi Kamer Kegonzos Tolan Lochlan Velo Starfin. Okay, beautiful. Okay, so far, Braisa, two explanations of the Braisa, Rav Papa and Rav Ashi. Right? And it comes down to what exactly the word tolan means when Rabbi Chiya says tolan. Okay? Good. Next. By Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Now, deja vu. A little bit of deja vu. This discussion that we're about to have, we had in Menachos not that long ago. Sirshul Menachos. I have a clump of flour in a mincha. Now, a mincha is flour and oil, as we've discussed for the past couple of months. Okay? And usually what you're supposed to do is mix bila. Mix the flour and oil together, and so therefore what you're going to get is a nice dough. All right? Flour, oil, and of course water, which the Gemara almost never talked about. But water is also part of the mixture. Let's say in that I have a clump of flour, a hard, dry clump of flour. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Well, I don't know. I don't know who is in the kitchen and, you know, kneading dough here in this room. Okay, I'll tell you what. It's not me. So, but, you know, it's fine. If you don't mix it well, so you're going to have, right, a little pocket of flour. Now, this pocket of flour did not come into contact with any liquid. Right. And if it did not come into contact with any liquid, so therefore it's not mochshel kabel tuma. Okay. So mona barisha v'sheni, mona barisha v'sheni. Now, what do we do over here with this little flower? In other words, there is susceptibility to tuma on this flower, even though it never came into contact with a liquid. Okay. Why? Correct answer will be chibas hakodesh. Because as we discussed already, anything that's going to go onto the mizbeach, even if it's not a food, even if it's wood, is susceptible to tumah because of this concept called chibas hakodesh. Later we will learn the derivation. Where do we get this idea from? Okay, later on this morning. But in the meantime, however, that's true. So now we know that this pocket of flour in the mincha is susceptible to tumah because of the concept of chibas hakodesh. Do we start counting now? Rishon l'tumah, sheni l'tumah. Meaning, yes, I know that it's susceptible to tumah. Does it follow all the rules of tumah? Is it going to be like anything else which is susceptible to tumah, where there's a rishon and there's a sheni and et cetera, et cetera? Or do we just simply say it becomes tumah, but that's it? But no levels, no rishon, no sheni. So ki mahanya chibas hakodesh lafsula gufa lafsula gufa. Is chibas hakodesh enough? Is all that it accomplishes is that it makes it, renders it puzzle. Disqualified over here just simply means tame, but with no ability to send it along. Leminyana be'risha mishina lo, odim aloshna. Or does chibas hakodesh give it now a regular status of tumah? Okay, that's the question. Amar v'lozit tashma, mikol ha'chesha ye'achel ochel haba b'mayim hochsher, ochel she'en haba b'mayim lo hochsher. So, in order for food to become tamei, susceptible to tumah, it has to come into contact with a liquid. Good. So, atu Rabbi Shimon Lakish leisle ochel haba b'mayim. So, the Gemara says, you didn't think Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish knew that? Of course he knew that. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish achi kamei b'ayle. Chibas ha'kodesh ka'ochel haba b'mayim dame? Oh, lo. He knew that. What he was asking is, when this concept of chibas hakodesh, it's going to go up onto the mizbeach, now it makes it susceptible to tumah. Is that liquid-like? In other words, does that accomplish the same thing as a liquid would? That's what his question is. So the Gemara says, haba mamayin, oh, lo, Rabbi Lazar, nami, mitur, krai kamar, michtik, si vichi, tan mayin, azera, mikol ha'ocher, she'yachel. Lama li, the pasuk says, if you put water on the seed, right? That's the parsha of Machshirin. And then the Torah goes on and seems to be redundant. Mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel. Any food. What is that? Any food? Lamali? Lav lamu'ute chibas hakodesh? So the Gemara says, are we not saying that this halacha of Machshirin is only limited to liquid? But chibas hakodesh does not create your rishon, sheni, shlishi. Meaning chibas hakodesh is a different animal altogether, a different parsha altogether. So the Gemara says, lo chad b'tumas, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're on the top now of Lamed Vav Amed Beis, lo chad b'tumas meis, v'chad b'tumas sheretz. The Gemara says, no. The redundancy in the pasuk is just to teach us that it becomes susceptible to tumah, and it doesn't matter what type of tumah. Tumas meis, tumas sheretz. Now you'll say, well, isn't tumah tumah? Meaning, once we say it's susceptible to tumah, of course it's going to be susceptible to all types of tumah. Why do I need one pasuk to talk about tumas meis? Why do I need to talk about another tumas sheretz? Then the Gemara goes through its traditional. We need both. Utzricha. The iash minen tumas meis asam hava by hechsher mishum dolam metame becha adasha aval sheretz the metame becha adasha emalo. There is a stringency by sheretz, and there's not a lot of them, but there is one stringency by sheretz, in that it gives off tumah even if it's the size of a lentil bean, the adasha. Meaning you have a little bit of sheretz, a little morsel of sheretz, not that appetizing, but if you have a little bit of it and it comes into contact, it transmits tumah. So lo lebay hechsher, so aval sheretz metame bechadash emal lo lebay hechsher. So you could make the argument that by mace you need hechsher, by sheretz because all you need is an adasha, so you don't need hechsher. And we can go the other direction. We can easily go in the other direction. Meaning, sheretz, I need heksher, but by tumas mace, look, if you come into contact with a mace, you're tummy for 7 days. That's heavy duty. So you can make the argument that maybe you don't need heksher for tumas mace, so obviously tzricha, that's why I need both. Mace of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Huchshur, Rabbi Shechita. Now, Here's what the Gemara is going to do. Okay, very interesting discussion. We have this concept called Chibas HaKodesh. Chibas HaKodesh means that something becomes susceptible to Tumah even though it didn't come into contact with a liquid. Okay? So in other words, we have the golden standard, so to say, of how to make something, how to make a food susceptible to Tumah, and that's liquid. Right? That's a Pasuk in Chumash. And then we have other means, so to say, of making things susceptible. One is Chibas HaKodesh. Okay? Which we're in the middle of discussing right now. So we know it's going to make it susceptible to Tumah. We want to know, is it work just like the liquids do? Right? By counting Rishon and Sheni and their levels of Tumah. There's something else out there which also serves as a Machshir, according to one Tana's opinion, and that's Shechita. According to Rabbi Shimon, Shechita is a Machshir. So now, while we're discussing Chibas HaKodesh, we can entertain at the same time a similar concept, which is Shechita. According to Rabbi Shimon, Shechita is a machshir. So now let's see. So, Meisav Rav Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Amar Hukshur B'Shechita, Hukshur Afilu L'Minyan Be'Rishon V'Sheni. So it sounds like it's a real machshir, where you count levels, you count degrees of Tumah. Rishon L'Tumah, Sheni L'Tumah. Amai V'Halav Ocha Ba B'Maim Hu. So the Gemara says, but Shechita is not a liquid. Shechita is, as Ben points out correctly, it's a status thing. It made it into a food, but it's not liquid. So Amalei Abaye Asokach Shemayim Midrabanan. So Abaye says, yeah, correct. But you're 100% correct. Min HaTorah, it's not a machshir. It's Shechita is only a machshir, but only on a rabbinic level. Okay? And as we mentioned Rashi earlier, what's the idea behind that? The idea is that water creates food into a machshir because water prepares it. Meaning prior to you washing it, it wasn't edible. Now that you washed it, it's edible. Shechita does the same thing. In essence, the meat is not edible. Once you shecht it, now the meat's edible. Well, you got to do a little bit more. You got to cook it, I understand. But right in concept, it's the same thing. So the Chachamim came along and the Chachamim said, you know what? We're going to say Shechita is also a machshir. And it says it's a machshir midrabanan. And as long as we're doing that, the rabbinic institution will follow the biblical institution, just like machshir in a Torah creates degrees of tumah, rishon, sheni, shlishi. Shechita does the same thing.
They're
I don't know if agreeing with Rabbi Shimon or just simply explaining Rabbi Shimon. Okay, I'm Rabbi Zera Tashma. Habotz legas. Let's say you put grapes in a basket. And eventually what we're going to do is we're going to make wine out of this. But grapes, a lot of grapes assembled in a big basket. There's pressure, and a little bit of juice is coming out of these grapes. So Shammai Omer Hochsher, Hillel Omer Lo Hochsher. That little liquid that came out of the grape, that was expressed out of the grapes, where you had no intent for that liquid to come out. So Shammai says that's a machshir, and Hillel says it's not a machshir. You will note, by the way,
you were pleased with that.
You weren't. So Shammai, right? So Shammai sounds right on this issue. I'm sorry. Hillel sounds right on this issue. First of all, you will note, and this doesn't come up that often, there's actually a machlokes between Hillel and Shammai. Right? No, but I'm being serious, though. Right? No, I'm I know. Sometimes I'm sarcastic, and you lose me in the sarcasm. But I'm being serious over here. You know, there are not that many debates between Hillel and Shammai. Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, right, across the board. We're talking now about Hillel and Shammai, not that many. Okay, personal debates between them. Not personal, but in other words, one-on-one. So Shammai Omer Hochsher, Hillel Amar Lo Hochsher. So Vishasik Le Hillel Le Shammai. And Hillel ends up capitulating to Shammai. Now, as pointed out correctly, you didn't want this liquid. It kind of came out on its own. So this is not a real liquid tuma. So again, this is a rabbinic enactment. This is a rabbinic gzera. Okay. So Amalei Rabbi Yosef Aminolach Anahuchshur B'Shechita V'Atamali Asu Kehech Shemaim. So V'Amalach Rabbi Zeir V'Amalei Asu Kehech Shemaim. L'Rabbi Shimon Malakish Nami Asu Kehech Shemaim. So what? In other words, what's the common thread over here? All these examples that we just gave, The example of the small amount of juice that's expressed from the grape. The example of the shechita serving as a machshir. So all these examples that we just gave, these are all rabbinic machshirin. And what do we say in all of them? That basically when the rabbis institute, they institute just like the Torah does. So over here to your original question, the pocket of flour and chibas hakodesh, can we give the same explanation? That it's a rabbinic form of hechsher, and the chachamim pattern themselves after the biblical law. So amalei atu Rabbi Shimon Lakish litlos kamibayle ki kamibayle listrof. So the Gemara says, look, if your question is coming down to tliya, suspension, meaning we don't burn it, we don't eat it, I never really entertained that question. Meaning I know that in a situation where is the question of Chibas HaKodesh, maybe becomes Tameh, maybe doesn't become Tameh, I know that we will not eat it, we won't burn it, I know all that. What I want to know is, positively, is it a Machshir, yes or no? So, the Gemara ends awkwardly off on that note. Meaning, I know that Chibas HaKodesh is a Machshir, I want to know to what level of definitiveness. Is it definitely a machshir? Or is it just a machshir like we'll be tola? We'll suspend. Okay. Last bit of Gemara on this discussion. Mechlal d'chibas ha-kodesh da'oraisa. It sounds like throughout this discussion, chibas ha-kodesh is a machshir and it operates on a da'oraisa level. Menalan, how do you know this? Ilema midichsi v'abasar she yiga b'chol tamei. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it comes from the following. The pasuk in Parshat Tzav talks about meat becoming mukhshir. Meat meaning not just meat that you and I eat, but shlamim meat. Shlamim meat becomes mukhshir. High busted discussion by mine. How did that meat become mukhshir? Now, ilim a discussion by dam, so what are you going to tell me? So your first option is, well, you shechted it, and the blood ran out. But this is carbon. Remember what we said yesterday? Ham rebi chia bar abba am rabbi yochim inayin ladam kachm sheno mukhshir shenemar lo suchlan al artish bechana kamayim dam anishbach kamayim mukhshir shenen anishbach kamayim. We said this yesterday, we're repeating it again today. Blood of a carbon is not a machshir. Okay? Because it has to be ala aretz tishpachenu kamayim. It has to be blood which is spilled on the ground. Blood of a carbon is not spilled on the ground, collected in a bowl. Blood of a carbon is not a machshir. Elad is kasher b'mashke beis mitbachaya. So the Gemara says, well, there's a lot of liquid going around in the beis hamikdash. Right? Remember, all animals get cleaned in the beis hamikdash. Water is spritzed on the animal. V'ham Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Mashke bei mitbechaya lo dayan shehin dachein, ela she'in machshirin. Liquid in the base of Mikdash is dachein, Aramaic word, it means pure, and it's not a machshir. Okay. When we get to Pesachim, ask me later why that's the case. For now, let's just simply say that's the case. Right, that's just simply a fact. All liquids in the Beis HaMikdash are A, not impervious to Tumah, and B, not going to be a Machshir. V'chitema, wait just 1 second, V'chitema, Tirgama, Adam, maybe that's only talking about the blood. Gemara says, no, V'hamashke kamar. That's not true. All liquids in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we don't understand that right now. It's not fine, but for now it's fine. How does Shlamim meat become Tameh? So the Gemara says, look, I ruled out the blood of the animal. I ruled out all other liquids in the Beis HaMikdash. So I'm only left with one answer, presumably, and that's Chibas HaKodesh. So you see that the fact that the Torah tells you that Shlamim meat is susceptible to Tumah, and the only way we got to that conclusion is Chibas HaKodesh. Right? The concept of Chibas HaKodesh. The Dilma Kidrav Yehuda Mashmol Damar of Yehuda Mashmol Kagon Shaisal Parash of Zivche Shlamim Ve'evir Benachos Shachta Ve'adai Mashka Tofeach Aleha. The Gemara says, if you're just a little bit creative, you can think of a case in which the animal is Mukhshal Kabal Tumah. For example, walking the animal to the base of Mikdash, having a little river in your way, right? Kind of like when Avraham walked Yitzchak to the Akedah, right? If you know your Midrashim. And you go through the river, and now the animal is wet. And by the time you get to the base of Mikdash, the animal has not dried yet. and now the water's still on the animal, and you shechted the animal, and now the question, what liquid made it machshir? The liquid of the river that hasn't dried yet. Right. Right. And what we're going to say is, although I'm not going to love saying it, but what we're going to say is that that's considered like it's on the meat. Even though it's on the, even though it's on the external part of the body of the animal. Correct. Prior to its death, it's not tame. But after you shecht it, and now it's dead, and now water is on it, so now it's a makshir.
So this water that's inside of it, how many not part of the food that are inside of it, that are not makshir?
Correct. Correct.
Because it was brought on from before, it was on the animal from before, and it's not a new
right. Alami Seifa, so the Gemara says, okay, so now that we through our creativity, we didn't come to the conclusion of Chibat HaKodesh, so where do we get Chibat HaKodesh from? Alami Seifa, so the Gemara says, it comes from the following. The Habasal Rabbas Eitzim Alavona B'nei Achilaninu, the Habasar, and the meat, the Vav, the Hay, extra letters. We darshan from here that the wood and Lavona are susceptible to Tumah.
Right.
Now, how? They're not food. So the answer is going to be Chibas HaKodesh. B'nei Achila Ninu, Ela Chibas HaKodesh Machshar Elohu, Meshavilu Ochel. Now what Chibas HaKodesh does is it transforms it into food. Right? The idea is that you and I aren't going to eat it. Right? It's wood. But once it's going up onto the Mizbeach, it has a consumer. HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Kav Yachol, to the best of our understanding of how exactly that is. Right? So in Bistar Lo Meshavile Ocha, Hachanam Chiyuvas Hakadosh Machshir Asah. So my. So now that we gave the source for Chibas HaKodesh, so one more time now we're going to repackage the question, and then Hedy, much to your displeasure, the Gemara is not going to Gemara is not going to resolve. So Kima Hanya Chibas HaKodesh Lipsula Degufei Avalam Lemimne Bei Rishon Vesheni Lao Demaloshna. So now that we're familiar with this concept of Chibas HaKodesh, and, interestingly enough, not like the act of Shechita, not like the little juice that's expressed from the grapes, right? Not like those cases where we know for a fact that that's a rabbinic machshirin. And the Chachamim basically said, we'll treat it like regular machshirin. But here that's a different concept. It's Chibas HaKodesh, which acts as a machshir min haTorah, but it's not a liquid. So now we can ask the question, how does it work? Is it just simply render this particular food tameh, but won't pass the tumah along? Or no, it serves as a regular machshir. It basically is an equal substitute for a liquid machshir. Just like a liquid machshir would make this tameh and allow the tumah to pass along, same thing with Chibas HaKodesh, would make it tameh and allow it to pass the tumah along. Yeah, but nobody.
Used to differentiate before, like what stopped and what can further.
But we don't use. So I understand that, but in the actual terminology, it says Chibas HaKodesh is machshir. In other words, in the Gemara's terminology, we don't see the words tamei or pasul. You're right. Had we used tamei and pasul, we would see. But it just the operative word is machshir. I would assume, I mean, if all I had was just the Gemara's conclusion over here, they would be machmir. And they would say that
to what degree? Like
to this wood, this piece of wood now, is going to go up onto the Mizbeach. So now that means that if I have a sheretz touch the wood's tameh. Now, where I end off with the Gemara is that now if this wood touches another food, yeah, what happens then?
What degree are you going to carry it on?
I would say that the wood is a rishon. If we're going to follow the regular rules of Tumah, wood touches the sheretz, the wood now is a rishon. Any food touches the wood, that food would be a sheni, etc., etc. So that's exactly what the Gemara says, I don't know. Don't know what Chibas HaKodesh accomplishes. Does it just make the wood itself susceptible to Tumah, but with no ability to pass along the Tumah? Or no, now the wood is totally like any other object which is susceptible to Tumah. And that would be the question over here. Okay, we start now the new Mishnah. Okay, we were, for a while, right? The last three or four blot of Gemara, starting with Lamed Gimel, they were difficult because it revolved a lot around Tuma Tahara, right? And you say to yourself, we're in Chulin right now, but okay, we got a nice window of opportunity to learn a little bit about Tuma Tahara. We go now back to the halachas of Shechita. Okay, this next discussion the Gemara is about to have, is just fantastic. We have so far basically two categories. All right, this is just a small introduction. I know we're short on time, but just a small introduction. We have two categories of an animal that is prohibited to us. Number one, we have a treifa. Right, animal's a treifa. That means that something happened, some physical damage happened internally to the animal, where one of the organs of the animal was punctured or severed. In just a short couple days from now, we're going to start the third perek, and we're going to learn in detail, right, anatomy 101, right, not human anatomy, but bovine anatomy 101, and we're going to actually learn what makes an animal a treifa. Okay, so but that's category number one. Once the animal's a treifa, so obviously you can't eat the animal. The animal's treif. But I'm not saying that in the usual way that you and I talk. You and I call everything that we can't eat treif, right? But that's, you know, it's a misnomer. That's not accurate. Accurately, treifa means this animal that experienced this type of internal wound. And what results is that the animal's dying.
Impending
now, impending death. Now, you know, I don't want to be so morose, but we're all dying. Right, I mean, you know, just part of life is that, you know, we're all on the way out. But we are hopefully going to make it 120 years, and you know, as the expression goes, we're alive and well. Right, a treifa is an animal that's alive but not well. Okay, then we have another category, which was what we call nevela. Now, nevela means the animal's dead, and it did not die as a result of shechita; it died as a result of whatever causes, right, natural or unnatural. It died, right? And the animal's now in nevela, it's us to eat. Good. Okay, those are two categories. And by the way, if I have a treifa animal and I give it a proper shechita, so now it's not a carcass, it's not a nevela, but I can't eat it because it's a treifa. Okay, good. There may be a third category, and we'll call it now misukenis. Okay. Now, misukenis is just simply an animal that is dying. Cause of death, right? Normal, right? The normal,
we know.
Right? It's old, it's sick, it's just, you know, it's just dying. It's weak, it's infirmed, but there's no simane treifa, there's no sign of treifa, it's just old and sick. So allow me to ask the following question. You have this animal that's misukenis, right? It's dying. And you shech the animal. Can you eat it?
Yes.
Well, let's think about it for a moment. No, actually, well, actually, no. I know. I usually set up for that answer, but no. The answer is, it's not a treifa. It's not an avela. It, right? In other words, it doesn't fit into any of the categories that we know. We only know of two categories. It's neither. So the answer would seem to be yes. Here's the concern, but I'm just saying, I mean, in other words, the correct answer is yes, you can eat it. But here's the concern. Because it's a misukenis, and because right now it's dying, so now after you shechted it, I have a simple question. What's cause of death? Cause of death could be one of two things. Either A, I shechted it, or B, it was dying. So maybe it died prior to my shechita. Okay. So what the Mishnah is now going to teach us, fascinating Mishnah, is that what you can look at is hard evidence to indicate that the animal died as a cause of a shechita and not because it was a misukenis. Let's learn the Mishnah. Hashochet es ha-misukenis. You shecht an animal that is a misukenis. Misukenis is the term that we're going to use from this point forward. It means that the animal is dying, not because anything happened to the animal just simply because the animal is expiring. It's the end of its life. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer ad sheteparches biyad uverego. So Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says you need convulsion. And he's very specific about what convulsion you need. You need to see after the shechita a leg extend and retract. An arm, which I know we're talking about an animal, so we mean a foreleg, right? Extend or retract, okay? Later on, we'll sharpen the definition. Extend and retract, we'll talk more about that later on. Rabbi Elazar Omer, daya im zinka, right? Rabbi Elazar says it's enough if you hear a moan, right? Some sort of death gurgle. So, let's say you do the following. You shecht it at night. Now, by the way, we talked earlier about shechting at night, right? We said that if you create artificial light, that's fine. But, okay, this person didn't, right, create artificial light, and so he shechted in the dark, right? Much like we talked about a blind person shechting, which we didn't really endorse, but it's okay, right? The Biddy Evident would be fine, so you shecht at night. And not only did you shecht at night, but you shecht at a mesukenis at night. Now, you're looking for telltale signs that the cause of death was shechita. Problem is, at night, you can't see the convulsion. So, next morning, right, ksalim aleim dam, the sides of the animal, the flanken of the animal, are filled with blood. That is a telltale sign that the cause of death was shechita. Shezinka uchemidas Rav Elazar, meaning that with shechita, right, there was still circulation, there was still blood flowing through the animal, and essentially your shechting of the animal was the cause of death, not the fact that it was mesukenis. The fact that you see blood strewn along the sides of the animal is a good indication, is enough of an indication that shechita was the cause of death. Uchemidas Rav Elazar, and we're following in the position Rav Elazar, meaning, because remember, according to Rishim and Gamaliel, you actually need to see convulsion. If you shechted at night, you didn't see the convulsion. Good. So according to Rav Elazar, all you need is that moan, that deflation of the animal. So if you see blood on the sides the next morning, it's comparable. So, and according to the Chachamim, no, it's not good enough. You need to see actual convulsion of the animal, retraction of the foot, of the foreleg, the hind leg, or you need to see the tail bouncing back and forth. Echa behem adakav, echa behem agasa, big animal, small animal, other way around, small animal, big animal. By a small animal, if all it does is extend a leg, that's not enough. Now, all this, where you need to see convulsions after shechita, that's only if the animal is a mesukenes. But if the animal was healthy and well, you don't need convulsion. Convulsion is only something you need to see if the animal is a mesukenis.
What's the criteria that they use to determine that the animal is a mesukenis?
Tomorrow's daf.
Before you shoot.
Tomorrow's daf. Okay, Gemara will discuss that. Okay, good. All right, tomorrow we'll begin the Gemara. First discussion we're going to have tomorrow is, first of all, what's this category? Meaning, what do we know about this category of mesukenis? And maybe mesukenis should be in the category of either nevela or trefa. And for whatever reason, it's not. Okay, that's going to be our first discussion. Second discussion tomorrow is criteria for knowing that the animal is actually mesukenis. Okay, a lot of good discussion to be had. All right, stay tuned. Come again.